Praise the Lord. Amen. Hello, everybody. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful night. Glad you showed up. Hope you didn't have any kind of issues to get here. I heard one, But it's good. It's good. You ever notice how sometimes you try to do something or be somewhere and you know that you're supposed to be there, but there's things that just come up that keep you from getting there? But almost too, if something comes up and you're supposed to be there, then that makes it even more important to get there. And if you recognize that, then you make yourself get there regardless of why you think you couldn't get here. Amen? Well, that's my wisdom for tonight. Let's go ahead and close out. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to read a scripture and then we're going to get into this. Richard tonight, he's had knee surgery, so let's keep him lifted up in prayer. From what I've heard, that it went really well. So that's good, because knee pain can really, really be bad. So I'm really happy that it went well, and he'll be back. And so we're looking forward to that. All right, let's read a scripture and then we'll get into some prayer. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple, that I may know how to sustain a weary one with the word. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for each and every individual that came here tonight, Lord. I thank you for leading them here. Lord, I just believe that every time we gather together, that it's a divine appointment for all of us, mainly because your presence is here. And we just look to you, Holy Spirit, to guide us tonight and to manifest whichever way you see fit. And we're going to give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, we're living in a time, Lord, where your return is soon. And we just can't wait. But Lord, while we are waiting, and we are waiting earnestly, we want to hasten your coming, Lord, as the scripture says. And I know that we're hastening your coming is when the body of Christ begins to move out in righteous deeds. Lord, I thank you for each person that's come here tonight, Lord, that they would go out from this place today charged up, full of the Holy Spirit, and to do great exploits in this community and wherever you might send them. Lord, I ask that a blessing would come upon each individual here tonight, Lord. And Lord, again, we just thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, go to Acts chapter 2. I'm excited about the message tonight. I'm excited that I got a message tonight, because it didn't come until about an hour before I got here. So it's thrilling, but you know, it's hard to catch up sometimes with the Holy Spirit when he gives you something. You know, you got to ride it out, but it just seems like it comes so fast you can't keep up with what he's doing. But I'm very thankful that he gave me something tonight, because I didn't want to sit up there and not do anything. Amen. I'm in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. It's a powerful scripture. We probably read it a lot, but I want to specifically talk tonight about visions and dreams. Now, we all have communication, but we want to talk tonight about divine communication, mainly because I believe each and every person in here is going to have this experience. That's why you're here tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to hear about how the Lord might move in your life and how he may communicate to you. But there are two things here, and it's interesting. You read here, it says, your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. It doesn't mean that a young man can't have a dream, and it doesn't mean an old man can't have a vision. I wanted to point that out, because if you're having dreams and you're young, you're not old. And if you're having visions and you're old, you're not young. So you can have that. And also, I would point out, it's not just for the men, it's for the women also. Thank God for the women. So you can have these divine communications, and just know that God wants to speak to us. He really does. And sometimes His communication needs to come through in such a definitive way, in such a specific way. And I believe that He comes through these visions and dreams. And these things are going to increase because the scriptures He's read out, it will come about in the last days. Now, a lot of people say the last days were from when the time that Jesus was resurrected, and I'm not going to debate that. But I will say that the last days, we are in the end of the end of days. And so I believe the scripture has greater significance right now because it's something that's about to take place on the earth. And you have a part in that. And that part is specific, and that part is important. You are significant. Just know that. Say, I am significant. Okay, so many people think they're not significant. They're just, cruising through life, eating food, cussing a washer and dryer out. But there's more to life than that. Amen? So just know this, that God has something specific for you. I'll say it 1,000 times. And this is going to be great revelation to you. And sometimes it has to come through these ways and vision and dreams. Because, sometimes we get so worked up in life, of all the issues of life, that's when we're asleep, that our body's at rest, that God can speak to us. Sometimes we're trying to hear from God, but we're trying too hard. We're trying to get that specific information, from the Lord, and you're seeking them. And I was talking to somebody last night, and she had been seeking healing for her daughter, and her daughter isn't healed. And she's just been a real mess over that. And so she came to me and said, I'm losing my faith over this. And you have to encourage people like that. You have to realize that, sometimes it has to do maybe with the person that doesn't have faith that they're praying for, or there may not be a reason. Some things we just don't understand. Jesus didn't heal everybody. He probably passed by that guy at the gate that Peter ministered to that, got healed. And so we just know that there are things that we just don't understand. But getting back to divine communication, visions, I'm going to define that, it's a supernatural presentation of certain scenery or circumstances to the mind of a person, either while awake or asleep. So you can have a vision while you're asleep, and you can have a vision while you're awake. But it's important to point out, it's certain scenery or circumstances to the mind of a person, either while they're awake or asleep. There are three types of visions, and you need to be aware of these. Sometimes when you have a vision, it's not really that important that you define it, per se. But it's nice to know that there are three types, and you want to make yourself familiar with these. There's a vision of the mind. This clearly flashes in the mind in an instant. You will see an image of someone or something. It will go through your mind quickly, probably to communicate something to an individual. Now, I will just say, just from personal experience, that a lot of times when I lay hands and prophesy over people or whatever the Lord does through me, you're going to have to define it because I just can't. It's just a conglomeration of things. But many times when I see flashes of what they're doing or what they're going through, and it's just like a flash picture. And you can experience that through prayer. Sometimes when I'm ministering over an individual, it'll happen, but it happens so fast, it's like my mouth can't catch up with what I'm seeing. But this is something that I believe that God wants to have happen in all of our ministries because it's effective. And it's communicating to somebody. And when you pray for somebody, God wants to move for everybody here. But when you pray through somebody and you lay your hands on them, just first of all, just pray a blessing over them. And as you pray that blessing over them, wait till thoughts start racing through your head. And those thoughts that come into your mind and into your head, as they come really quickly, then you have to release that. And don't be afraid to do it. It'll be the Lord. And after this happens over a period of time, you'll have great confidence. You'll get to the place where if you open your mouth, He will fill it. And people go through all kinds of different stages with this. And so when I'm teaching in a seminar or I'm teaching in a workshop, that's one of the things that I talk about. Just pray a blessing over them. Just pray for them. Pray a simple prayer or whatever it is, and just wait to hear what comes inside of your mind. And it'll be the Lord. And just repeat it. And when you say it to them, you don't have to say, thus says the Lord. You know, because you get yourself in trouble with that stuff. You can just say, I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying. And if the person, you know, is wrong or something like that, then it's okay. But it won't be wrong. It'll be right on the money every time. You know why? Because when you pray a blessing over someone, you're actually moving an anointing of love. And love pierces the darkness. Love pierces all the circumstances. Love is like something that reaches out to an individual and just comforts him. Because that's the Holy Spirit. And so when you're doing that, you want to get out of any kind of performance stage. And we have a lot of performances going on. And you can watch that sometimes where people are performing in this and that, and they kind of stage up the Holy Spirit, and sometimes they'll exaggerate, you know, and those types of things. I'm not criticizing, but just, I'm just saying, we're in a day and time, we don't want a lot of that stuff happen, because things are going to be are shaken up real quick. And you don't have to come up with some kind of a special prayer. You know, you don't have to adopt some kind of position where your hand's up in the air. I mean, it's not about all that stuff. It's simply about what's inside of your spirit. And that's you're joined with the Holy Spirit. You're joined with the Lord Jesus. And He wants to move through you and love other people. Your love walk is the most important thing between you and your relationship with the Lord. He's mostly concerned about that. And so when we really crank that up and we realize that we have to love people, and especially our enemies, you know, or that person that agitates you at work, or that child that's not behaving, or whatever it might be, you know, those are the people you've got to target. And if you find it hard to love them, start to intercede for them. You know, years ago I worked at Epworth Children's Home, and there was a lady there that, she had a class, and I was a facilitator, technically a principal over the school on campus. And a lot of these kids were abused in different ways, and some of the kids were like 16 with a fourth grade education. It was a very sad situation, but they knew if you love them. You can't fake that. You couldn't fake them out, okay? You knew if you love them. But the teacher was just a real agitation to me. I thought she had a demon. I thought she was a devil at time, and I just didn't like her. And I'm just being honest. And so, you know, I was a little mischievous back then. I was in my 20s, and, you know, I'm not completely sanctified at that point in time. And, you know, she didn't sometimes would kick people out of her class and just send them over to me just because she didn't want to deal with them. And she sent this little boy over to me and that type of thing, and that just irritated me. And so what I decided to do is I was going to write a note. And she was going to take it back to her. And I knew it was going to make her mad. I knew she was going to come over and she was going to yell at me in my office. I mean, I had it all planned out. And it's exactly what happened. And she got the note and she came walking, and there was grass way, and my office was over here. And she's coming, and I'm just got this big smile on his face, because I was going to kick her out of my office as soon as she got in there. So she got in there and she had said what she said. And I said, just get out of my office, you know. And I knew that would make her mad. I said, just get out of my office. Finally, you know, she got out of my office. I shut the door. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that's really great. You really showed her my love, didn't you? And I go, Lord, you know, she's da 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 da. And I started rattling that stuff off. And He goes, well, let me just tell you about her. And all of a sudden, words of knowledge started to come to me. And I saw how she was abused when she was younger. I started to see some of the reasons why the way she was. And it happened like I just shared, in a flash. And I felt so convicted. And I said, Lord, I didn't know. He said, you never asked. And so these people that we're dealing with in this world that are harassing us or something like that, these are the very people that you have to target in prayer. And what I mean by targeting, that you call their name out and you target them. And I'm really into this target prayer lately, because I'm getting a lot of results in terms of just targeting people, you know, or targeting a situation, or some of the things that Alicia shared with those prayer points and handed out to everybody, that's targeting. And you know what? Our prayers get answered. And when you start getting confidence that your prayers are being answered, it changes you. Then you want to do it. And you start to realize that this is why I'm alive. This is why I'm here. And that prayer life is very, very important. If you want to really hear the voice of God, you've got to up your prayer life. You got to up that time spending time with Him. Find the time. And it's just the best moments of our life, the times that we spend in the presence of God like that. And He wants to communicate. And that's why we're talking about visions and dreams tonight, because I really believe that you're going to be experiencing it. I know you are. I have confidence in this. And so I'm going to give an example of these flash visions in John chapter 1. And this is actually Jesus having this experience here. I'm in John chapter 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed is whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." So he had a flash vision, and it just blew Nathanael away. And these are the kinds of things that you can experience, and then you can blow people away. Not that that's your objective. It's just you can see things like that in advance. And it's a great encouragement because you know that when these things are happening to you and they're happening frequently to you, you know you're working hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. You know you're one with Him. You know that He's moving through you because this is supernatural. It's not natural to see somebody under a tree. It's not natural to know somebody's name. But you know what? I've had dreams, and probably you have too, where you see people and then you see them in a crowd or you meet them. So that's what I call the first type of vision, is a vision of the mind. Now in Daniel chapter 4, we have another example of this. Daniel 4, starting at verse 10. "Now these things were visions in my mind as I lay on my bed. I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached up to the sky. And it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its foliage was beautiful, its fruit was abundant, and it was food for all. The beasts of the field find shade under it, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches. All the living creatures fed themselves from it. I was looking in the visions in my mind as I lay on my bed, and behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven." And so here he has a vision of the mind. And this is one of the types of visions that you will experience. Now, you may have other types of visions. Maybe you won't have a vision of the mind, but I believe that you will experience that, so I just said it. Now, the second vision, type of vision, is an open vision. An open vision, this kind of vision is where you see something openly. A person experiences the vision as a physical reality. Now, I recently have experienced this. I have not experienced this one before, just recently. And I've had it three times since we started these meetings. And some of the things that I've had are happening. But a lot of these visions are symbolic in a lot of ways. But I can't share these with you, but I will say this. In the vision, what was so weird about it is I could feel things like it was here, like I was in this realm, but I wasn't in this realm. One of the visions was so real that the individual that I had the vision about, I said, "Did you come out here? Did this happen?" And they go, no, it didn't happen at all. And so it blew my mind, but it was so real. I could feel things and touch things. And I wasn't really aware. I was aware, the first vision I was aware of, but it came out of 2 hours of prayer. And it came out of a word of knowledge. And I can share this with you because it was after one of these meetings. It was like Lord woke me up at 2 o'clock, and I interceded till about 4:30. And it wasn't one of those where you're laying down and just praying. I mean, I'm doing this and doing this, and you know, the Holy Spirit gets on you. All of a sudden, you have that energy, you know, and all of a sudden, 2 hours go by and you don't even know it. And then the Holy Spirit said, "Just listen. I'm going to show you what's coming." And I'm listening. All of a sudden, in the distance, I hear a train. And this train's coming. And I kept hearing the horn. Each crossing, they hit the horn, and something was coming. Something was coming down the pipe. This is before all this happened in Israel, before all this stuff. Now, he didn't give me specifics, but I know something's coming. And you know that too in your spirit. Everyone in here knows this because it's inside of us. And so God is making us aware of it. And the reason why he's making aware of us is so we get in position. And what we're seeing happening with the body of Christ is the great repositioning, is the way I called it. And he's taken down, he's going to be taken out a lot of religious activity. A lot of what we call churches are not going to be moving in the power of God. And so there's always a remnant. There's always something on the outside. You know, I mean, Jesus went in the synagogues, but a lot of his ministry was not in the synagogue. It was out in the open. So a lot of your ministries are not going to be necessarily in the church, although you might experience them. It's going to be outside the church. And the more we push this, the more you push that with the Christians that you come across, the greater work that we can do. So that's another vision, an open vision. Now let's go, I want to show some scripture. We'll go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verses 3 and 7. It says, about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God that had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Isn't that awesome? That tells you something about our prayers. Now dispatched some men to the Joppa and sent for a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He was staying in the with a tanner. Was he tanning? I don't know what that is. You guys probably do. With a tanner named Simon, whose house was by the sea. When the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after that, he explained everything to them and sent them to Joppa. On the next day, they were on their way in the city. Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And so he has this vision, and he is clearly saw in a vision an angel of God. And so what I want to point out in this open vision, the specific is he clearly saw. Sometimes in dreams, it's not really clear. It can be kind of fuzzy at times. But in open vision, it's clear. You see it, and you know what it is. And so that's just really what stuck out to me in that verse. Now, in Acts chapter 12, we have another example of this. Verses 7, 8, and 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, gird yourselves up and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. So in this specific case, you know, he doesn't know if he's dreaming or not. And he's having this supernatural thing occur around him. And that's really cool. I'd like to have that experience. Well, I don't want to be in jail, you know, but I'd like to have that experience. And so he's actually, and this would probably be the operation of gift of discerning of spirits, which he's actually seeing the spirit realm, and he sees this angel. But he had a difficult time trying to realize if he was actually seeing a vision or not. So let's read another scripture in Ezekiel 1:1. It says, now it came about in the 30th year of the fifth day of the fourth month, while I was by the river Shebar, among the exiles, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. So he's awake. He's in a specific place. And it's interesting that when you look at the scripture that he talks about dates and the day and the specifics. That tells you a lot about what happened. You know, it's not one of those things that he just lists something. He actually goes into some detail. In fact, even where he is. But the heavens were open and he saw visions of God. So he has this open vision. And as you read on here, I mean, he sees all this stuff. And so, yeah, this is Ezekiel and he was a prophet and all the above. But the thing is, you're born again. You've got Jesus inside of you. You've got the Holy Spirit. You can experience these things. And God wants you to experience these things. So I want you to start to develop an expectation about it. Because some of your callings in here, you've got prophets, we got some apostles, we got some evangelists, we got pastors, we got all kinds of different giftings in our room here right tonight. We've got teachers, you know. It's time to have some expectations that God wants to communicate to us through these methods. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, when you have that relationship with Jesus, you have that, and you know that about him. You know, we got that train coming. It's coming on strong. Amen. So you know he wants to, I mean, he loves you, first of all. He wants to get intimate with you. And one of these ways is experiencing these visions and these dreams. I mean, can you imagine having a vision like Ezekiel had, where you have visions of God? I mean, would it change you? I think it would. Amen? I think it would change you. So why not? Let's anticipate that. All right, let's read on here. The third type of vision is a trance vision. And I'll show you an example in Acts chapter 10. So the trance vision, I've never had this experience. I've been so bored that I thought I was in a trance, you know, where you're going somewhere and you're kind of falling asleep, you know. But a trance is kind of an open thing. And, you know, I think sometimes we get confused with trances, with hypnotism and stuff like that. It's not what I'm talking about. This type of a trance is divine trance. And it's almost like the Lord takes over your mind. Some of the scriptures in the Old Testament, as I was searching, they said that the Lord's hand came over them. And that would be maybe another explanation of a trance. But this vision, this specific scripture talks about it right here. It says, on the next day, as they were on the way approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen or read about Mary Wordsworth Eder. She had a ministry, I think, back in maybe in the 1800s, early 1900s. I can't remember exactly the dates. But she went to a meeting up in St. Louis, or was around in that area. And she had a lot of people tell her, don't go there. People, you know, they're going to mock you. They don't want to be saved. I mean, it was just one of those things. It was not a good town to go to. And so she found a church out there, and she was doing her revival or whatever, and people were coming. And and I think the place got so packed she had to go out. I think it was a cornfield or something like that. And she stood up on a box or whatever, but she's sitting there ministering. And these people are mocking her. But in the middle of her message, she freezes for a day. And when she comes out of it, she takes off right where she left off. But all of those people that were mocking her, every one of them came to the Lord, and every one of them became a minister. And this is actually recorded. You can find this. It was recorded in a newspaper or whatever. This is a recorded sign. Now, maybe she fell into a trance. I don't really know. But that, to me, is maybe the example of a trance. But, you know, see, the thing about it is her life was committed, and that was in a time and a season where there weren't many women preachers. You know, I mean, you know, women had to stay in the church and had their head covered or whatever, which, you know, I'm glad that isn't going on. But, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was a time where it wasn't really popular to be a woman, but she had a powerful ministry. She had signs and wonders following her ministry. And she was very, very effective and led many, many people to the Lord. So this trance vision that Peter has, as you read on here, he saw the sky opened up and an object with like a great sheet coming down, lowered by the four corners to the ground. And there were in all kinds of four-footed animals, crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. What a trance he's having. And a voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean." Again, the voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times. It sounds to me like he had to drive the point home to Peter. This happened three times. Immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in his mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. Now, what he has seen is, as you can see this, is that the gospel of the kingdom was also going to be preached to the Gentiles. And so he has this vision and a trance vision, and the God had to really make the point to him. And so sometimes we have things in our life where God really has to drive the point home. I don't know about you, but I know with, at least in my life, that it sometimes it took a little while for me to get it. I kept finding myself in the same situation over and over again. And, you know, I wasn't using the Lord's wisdom. And sometimes there were even places where I thought it was the Lord, you know, because I wanted it to be the Lord. Because at the time, I wasn't really aware or trained to know my will. So you have to know your will, because if you know your will, then you won't consult it. If you don't know your will, you're probably going to consult it, because that will gets confused sometimes with the leading of God. You know, you want to pray something, you want to see it happen, and then, you know, or you have a situation where there has to be an outcome, and you want that outcome to be X, Y, and Z, and then it turns out that it's not, and that's when you find out your will got engaged, and your will overruled the Spirit of God in you. And so it's very important to know your will. I'm going to get into how to hear the voice of God. We're not going to do that tonight, but that was just a little tangent there. So transvision is the third type of vision. Now, let's talk about dreams. And I've listed two kinds of dreams here, and there might be more, but I just did two and put some little definition to it. First type of dream is those which there's a sound of a command or a message or guidance. So let's look at a couple things that that apply to that. Those which sound a command, it's a message or guidance. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. And I'm at verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. This is Mary. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his from their sins. And so here you get a situation where he's given a command and he's given a message at the same time, and he's also being guided. His message is that Jesus was going to save the people from their sins. He's commanded to not divorce her, but to keep her. And so you see how these things are played out in this dream. And why did he have to send Joseph a dream? Couldn't he just spoke to him? Joseph wasn't in a position. First of all, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. I mean, could have come upon him. You know, it's not like us. We're born again. I mean, you don't realize that's a lot different because we're born again. And a lot of people, that's why, you know, Jesus said the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And that seems real odd, but that's what he said. And that's because we're born again. We've got the Spirit of God. And so apparently Joseph had to be spoken to in a dream. That was one way that God divinely communicated to him supernaturally, so that he was commanding him what to do. Now we have another example of that in the second chapter in verse 13. And so he's given some guidance here. He's commanded to do something. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said to him, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. There's so much specific stuff in this. And we sometimes you just read over stuff. You know, he is commanded to do something. And Joseph, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, because, you know, sometimes you could have a dream and come out of it like, well, what was that? But this was, he was such a man of God that he listened and did exactly what he was told to do. So 14 says, so Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night. So he did it right away. You know, I don't know about you, but if I talk to Karen and say, hey, let's get up, we got to go to Texas now. I mean, that doesn't seem reasonable, you know. I mean, she would do it because, you know, she's a godly woman. But the point is that, you know, I mean, getting up and to just do something like that is not a normal thing. But the reason why I'm telling you this is that if you get a dream like this, you have to act upon it. Don't just let it slide off because it means something. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. So the second type of dream is the divine voice. And God can speak to you in a dream in a divine voice. It's hard to understand that because, you know, when he spoke, when Jesus was baptized, they said it sounded like thunder. But apparently he speaks with his voice in dreams. So let's go back and just look at an example of this in 1 Kings. I'm in chapter 3, starting at verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, God spoke to him. He heard his voice. Ask what you wish me to give you. Man, how'd you like to have that? That's one of those things. You ever have somebody, they ask you a question, and it's a loaded question? You just know that you just can't answer it right away. You really have to think it through. And so here is Solomon, and God asked him, ask me what I'll give you, and I'll give it to you. And then Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart towards you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? God's answer, it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one be like arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. Then Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered burnt offerings, and made peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. So Solomon has this dream, and God's asking him something specific. And he gives him the right answer, because you can tell in this certain circumstance, Solomon realizes that this is over his head. I mean, can you hear that in his voice? And so if you find yourself in a situation that's just over your head and you can't handle it, then just go to sleep and dream. Just have a dream. Yeah, I mean, you know, some of you in here, you have seasons of dreams, you know, where you go through seasons and you have these dreams and you know they're from the Lord, and you just look forward to going to sleep at night. You know, I mean, I have those experiences, but now it just seems like I dream all the time, which is great, you know, but I look forward to go to bed at night to have that time, you know, where God may have, I may have this divine supernatural experience. So I'm saying this to you because some of you in here are going to have this happen. So if God asks you what you want, make sure you don't list those things, because you can tell when he listed those things, he'd been hearing that a lot. Because you didn't ask for the life of your enemies, because you didn't ask for long life, because you didn't ask for great riches. I mean, don't you know that there were people who were seeking the hand of God and not the face of God? And they were asking these specific things. And it seems like this is some of the prayers that maybe a lot of Christians today just shoot on up to him, you know? And so, you know, Solomon had this incredible wisdom, and it came from the Holy Spirit, and it was just amazing. You know, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he just had incredible wisdom. I mean, you read the book of Proverbs, and it just blows you away at all the things that God did through Solomon. So, that is what I had to share tonight. And I hope that this is something maybe that you haven't been taught, or maybe hadn't been, you know, hadn't been brought up. I mean, I know there's a lot of times you go to churches and they don't bring this stuff up, but it's the main thing I bring these things up is I really feel, and you can check me out and correct me if I need, I really feel really passionate about preparing you for the move of God that is already here, but it's going to increase. As you see wickedness abound, grace much more abounds. So as you see these things that are just troubling the earth and all these shakings, just remember this, the church, what's going on with the church, what's going on with the body of Christ, what's going on with the anointing that's inside you. Don't get distracted by all these things, because Jesus already said it. You can read about it and you can see these things played out, and you can anticipate a real move of God in these last days, and you can anticipate being part of that army, being part of that remnant. And that remnant is strategically seated all over this planet. And when God starts to move, it's not going to be just here. You aren't going to hear about a revival, you know, off in Canada, or a revival down in Florida, or a revival over here. Not that those things didn't happen. These revival is going to be right in your midst. The fire of God is going to be inside of you. The day is going to burn as an oven. And when he turns that fire up inside of you and that anointing up inside of you, you may be illuminated. I mean, these are the things that you read in the scriptures that haven't happened yet. But you can anticipate in some of these visions and these dreams that you might have may exactly speak to those things. And maybe that's why I'm saying that. So just anticipate that. This is part of your equipment. You know, it says that, you know, the talks about the armor of God like a heavily armed soldier. This is part of your equipment. This is part of your inheritance. This is part of how God supernaturally takes you to a new place and a new level in him. And if you really want it, if you really want it, you really, really want it. And I think that's why people come on Thursday nights, because they want it, you know, because then you're going to have it. It's just like what Solomon asked. There's no, when you get before the Lord in your prayer or whatever, think about what you would ask him if he asked you that. Think about what you need in terms of your ministries and ask him for it. And he'll give it to you and you'll operate in it. Amen? God is so good. I don't know if I've ministered over you yet or not, but you look, I don't, my sister right here in the nice coat, nice and warm. Have I ministered to you before? Reason why I asked that is I think I've hit these guys two times now, maybe a third one, and I forgot that I did that, but I just want to give you a word of encouragement, okay? I just really see a teacher inside of you that God has really given you a real grasp of the Word, and there's a hunger of the Word that God is going to put in you tonight where you just really, it's like you just can't get enough of the Bible. And the things that you're, I see you up against a wall right now, and I see the Lord giving you the ability and the power and the knowledge of wisdom to be able not just get through the wall, but to actually shatter the wall. And this is going to come by the Holy Spirit, and you are going to be amazed at how God did this. He brought you here tonight that he would encourage you and strengthen you and give you the anointing inside of you. It's like he's illuminating you to be able to endure it, because the perspective is going to change. How you view it is going to be how he views it. But what you want in this situation, what you're praying for in this situation, is the same thing that he wants. And so you're in line with him, okay? The only problem is there's time involved. Those that wait upon the Lord shall change their strength. If you read it, study that Bible, shall change their strength. So the strength that you've had, the way you've approached things, God is now going to change it. So you have the ability to endure it. You have the foresight to see the outcome. And it doesn't really matter what goes on, because you're going to realize you're a kingdom child and there's nothing's going to stop you. There's nothing's going to snatch you out of His hands. Amen? Because He has you forever. There's nothing that can snatch you out of His hands. He's got you. Amen? He's got your back. God is your rear guard. Amen? Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Amen. Amen. My brother here, when you come, you're just an encouragement. I'm sorry. You bring light. You bring the militancy of the church. And I see the militancy of the church inside of you. You know, you're like a dog with a bone in its mouth. It will not let go. And when you get a hold of the word of the Lord, you will not let go. And you're going to be, I've said, like a minute man. You know, you're going to be sent in a minute. And you're going to deliver the word of the Lord, and it's going to come out like a hammer. And you might even be a little concerned that the person or the individual is not going to receive it. But the reason why it's coming out like a hammer is there's demonic spirits that are over these people. And God has given you a deliverance ministry. And you're going to speak right to the demons, and they're going to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, they're going to leave before you get there, because they're going to see you coming. Amen. And it's not so much you, it's the anointing that you carry, and it's the Lord that's inside of you. And in these days, you're going to be so motivated, because I'm just like, I see, it's like you haven't found completely your niche yet. You know, it's like you're not completely, and God is positioning you. It's like you can do this and you can do that. You're like a jack of all trades. You've got so much talent. You can do a number of things, but God is streamlining you. And He's forcing you into this narrow way. And it's not like you're consciously fighting God, but you've been fighting the process of the transition to a degree. And you've not been completely comfortable, but that's exactly where the Lord wants you. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. He wants you to move in faith, because you can't see what He's doing in a matter of 3 months. He's going to change some things. So just be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. You're just such a blessing, brother. You really are. I just, you know, you walked in the door and it just made a real blessing to me. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Sorry. Just got joyful. It just got real happy in here. That's all I got to say. It just got real happy. Amen. God is so good. Don't you just love when the joy of the Lord just comes, you know? And I never forget, there was this lady once, and she came into work, and she had been abused by her husband. All kinds of just bad things were happening to her. And she just got so happy and started getting so joyful. God just healed her with joy. It was amazing. When she shared afterwards what all the things she was going through, I go, you had nothing to be happy about at all. But that's the way God does it sometimes. Sometimes He turns our mourning into what? Into dancing. And some of you, God misses your dance. You ever dance before the Lord just by yourself, just dance? You know, it seems strange, you know. Nobody's looking now, so you can just cut loose, amen. David danced, didn't he? I think his wife got mad at him because he was dancing in his underwear, wasn't he? He was nude? Oh, okay. Well, I can understand why she was embarrassed. But man, when you get free in the Lord, you just get free. Amen. God is so good. Praise the Lord. I know there's something else I have here. I got to give it to before I can leave. So I don't know what it is. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Yeah. I just want to give you a word of encouragement too, amen, because you need it, amen. God is so good. You know, I hear that word, oh, storm-tossed and not comforted. And it's like I see you in a storm, and you know how to endure a storm, you know how to go through a storm, but the Lord is teaching you how to have comfort through the storm. And so, it's almost like you're at the place where you're numb And that's where the comfort comes in. But you're going to be carried through that with comfort. And you're going to realize it's the Lord, because you have no reason to be peaceful. You know, when you get bad information, you know, and you get some kind of a prophetic word, I'm not talking about a prophetic word, but some, you know, doctors can be say things and do things and things like that. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean they're right. I mean, I've seen athletes that were injured where they said, well, they'll never be able to do this, and they were. You know, I'm not saying that's your situation, but what I'm saying is that sometimes these things come into our brains, you know what I'm saying, and it's not the Lord. And I just see you fighting. It's like this thing is just coming at your mind, and I see you fight, and you're doing all the right things. But tonight, I just cancel this assignment by the power of the Holy Spirit over your life, okay? You're going to walk in a freedom and a liberty, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit is going to really, really envelop you. God loves you. He's very, very pleased with you, by the way. Very pleased with you. And you just hang in there. He's kept, because you know your prayers. See, you're a warrior. You're an intercessor. And the enemy wants to stop that. He wants to neutralize that. And if he can take your joy and get your mind off of that, and that's very hard to do, because I'll tell you what, you are a warrior, and you do not shut down even though the times are hard. But I just want to encourage you. You're going to get some relief, man, because this burden's too much. You know, and you know when it is that the yoke of the Lord, he says, put my yoke upon you and learn of me. Amen? Learn of me. For my burden is light and my load is what is easy. So next time, and I don't think the enemy is going to really be successful in this. So the next time you're experiencing this, take the word of God and prophesy it right in the face of that thing that's coming against you. Remember what Jesus said to the devil? It is written. It is written. He was just knocking him out every time. It was like knocking him down like one of those blow-up clowns, amen, that I had when I was younger. You know, they stand up and you just knock them over. I just had to say that because maybe you didn't have that when you were younger. You had one, amen. So I just want to encourage you, okay? God is going to really do a work. Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord, okay? Well, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. What a blessing it was just to be in your presence again. Lord, I just sense in my spirit there are people that intend to come to this gathering, but the enemy is trying to make them busy or whatever it is. Lord, I'm going to ask you in Jesus' name that you would commission your war angels to go out and be dispatched from this place, that they would go into Chapin, into Prosperity, into Newberry, Lord. But also, Lord, those that you want here, Lord, that are being harassed or being hindered in the name of Jesus Christ, I just ask that they would be commissioned to do warfare and prevent that from taking place. Amen. God, you're good. We thank you for what you've done here tonight, Lord. I ask that this word would go deep into our hearts. And Lord, that we have expectations now for this divine communication that you spoke to all your saints and all your children through all generations, Lord. And so we have great expectations for visions and for dreams, that we might hear you and that we might carry out our missions on this earth. Lord, we just thank you and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.